Coming to you live from Salsabon's Pundrickle, I'm Tom Rich, and with me as always are a slump of Crevid Merladoon, and this is the Mildly Alarming Podcast. Episode 87, From Kleptocracy to Egalitarianism, A Paradigm Shift in Modal Administrations.
Welcome back to the Mildly Alarming Podcast. I'm Johannes Stauffer.
And I am bursting with Christmas cheer, but my name is Tom Rich.
It's gross. He literally burst with Christmas cheer. It's all over the walls and ceiling. I'm going to have to scrub and probably whitewash the room when we're done.
It's seeping out of my body rapidly. I need serious medical attention. Please help me.
No.
Johannes is doing nothing.
We have a podcast to record. Pull yourself together, man. And this is our pre-Christmas episode spectacular.
Ba-ba-da-bum.
Tom's going to be out of town next week, the week of Christmas, and so we are not going to release an episode. It will be the first week we have ever missed. It's kind
of true.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're failures.
It's largely your fault.
Yeah, I know. You're the one who's going to be in Texas.
I know, right?
Gross.
Yeah.
So we're getting our Christmas on this week.
And isn't it festive? I really like what you did with the studio.
It's the Festivist, not to be confused with Festivus.
Right, right.
Which is a different thing.
It's a different thing. Although it does involve feats of strength.
True. Like the feats of strength it's going to take to scrub all of your Christmas cheer off the walls and ceiling.
You knew what you were getting into.
I didn't expect you to burst so early in the season.
Ahem.
So Tom has written up a list of Christmas-themed questions for us.
Yep. We do a board game podcast. We thought we would talk a little bit about board gaming over the holidays.
Yep.
You know, the kind of things that you might want to know about cardboard toys that grown men play with during this holiday season. And women. Girl folk can play too. It's fine. Anybody can. We don't discriminate at the Mildly Alarming Podcast, except against Gary.
It's true. We do. We discriminate against Gary.
We do. We have laws.
But he brought it on himself.
That specifically call him out and target him for negative acts.
It's only to protect the sea turtles.
So we got a series of questions here about the holidays and board games. And question number one. What to buy the board gamer in your life for Christmas? Johannes, what do you think?
Well, it bears mentioning that if you're listening to this podcast... Actually, that's not true. If you were listening to any other board game podcast, mm-hmm. you probably already know. If you're listening to our podcast, you're probably one of our moms.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is a worthwhile segment.
Yeah.
And what to get the board gamer in your life for Christmas will depend just so... It will vary so wildly from board gamer to board gamer.
It's a $20 gamer. Amazon gift card.
Or more.
It's an Amazon gift card. Because... You know, it's going to vary from gamer to gamer. It's going to vary from person to person what they want you to buy them. But also, here's the thing. You don't want to sit down for the explanation of which thing to get to make sure you get the right thing.
No, you really don't.
You don't want to have them explain the difference between the Dungeon Master's Guide and the Monster Manual to you. Or worse, the Monster Manual 1 versus the Monster Manual 2.
Or the Monster Manual 1 from version 3 versus the Monster Manual 1 from version 3.5 versus the Monster Manual 1 from version 4 versus the Monster Manual 1 from version 5. And we'll forget about AD&D and all this stuff before.
Yeah. Do you want that? No, you don't. Do you want to have to sit down and understand which thing is an expansion and which is not? Do you want to have to know what an expansion is?
No one wants that.
Nobody wants that.
Well, I want that.
I want it so badly. But you don't. That's the point. And so that is why Amazon gift card all the way.
If you're feeling very brave.
You're not.
And you know where the local game store in your area is.
You don't. Because you shower.
And you think they might sell gift cards.
They do not.
They don't. You could try to get one there. But then you're just going to get that explanation from a stranger instead of someone you love.
Yes.
Which is worse.
It is worse.
Amazon gift card.
Amazon gift card.
You could go Visa cash card. Same deal.
That would
deal.
Work too.
Yeah. Then they can take it to their local game store.
And in a non-board game related emergency, they could use it to buy a burrito.
It's true.
And very scary. So that's it. I think we concluded pretty conclusively that you should buy them an Amazon gift card.
Yep. What's the what's tip number two?
Tip number two, what are the best games to play with your family on Christmas?
Well, I think we can rule out Monopoly.
Yeah, nobody should ever play Monopoly.
No Monopoly.
Unless
you want to destroy Christmas forever.
Yeah, unless you're trying to damage your relationship with your family and possibly not have to go to family Christmases anymore.
It's true. Risk, probably a bad idea for similar reasons. Though, if you want Christmas to last forever, mm-hmm. You could try Risk. That's an approach.
It's a strategy. It's not a good one.
No.
You don't want that.
As previously discussed on the air, games like Coup and The Resistance, mm-hmm. probably not great unless lying to one another is what your family likes to do on Christmas.
But they do point us in a direction of what makes for a good family Christmas game, in that they do have a strong social element.
It's true.
And that you're going to be talking to each other and interacting. And theoretically, you probably only see these people, once a year, roughly? Because you probably live in different states, because that's how 2015 works.
Yep.
So you want to talk to them. And if you're going to play a board game, you want that board game to smooth your interactions with them. I would recommend something like Monikers.
I don't know. Monikers could be good. I feel like we enjoyed Monikers mm-hmm. in part because it was with a group of people who were not our family. And so we could be free with the mm-hmm. things that popped into our heads. I think Monikers would suffer in the same way that Apples to Apples suffers
in that you
playing with your mom. Yeah.
But we put together this podcast.
It depends on your family, though.
Yeah, depends on the mother in question. I think if you curate which cards you're going to use in Monikers before, like you pick out a thick stack that you know will be reasonable for that group of people, though. And still fun. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's still a pretty solid choice.
Code names could work for the same reason.
Code names would work good. You want light. You want fluffy. You want talky.
Basically party games. Social games.
Social games.
Probably don't want to bust out Arkham. Be like, hey, unless you got Arkham for Christmas and you have a gamer family, that doesn't happen. That's not a real thing.
It's not real, no. But, corollary, the other reason you get them a $20 gift card is because if you buy somebody a game on Christmas, you're playing that game.
Oh, that's true.
Like, you can't buy them a game and then refuse to play it.
At the very least, they are going to sit and not talk to anyone while they look at all of the pieces and read through all of the rule books multiple times.
And tell you about how excited they are about it.
And try to get you to play, whether or not you actually decide to join them.
So, you get the game itself, you're in... You're in on that round. You're playing at least once.
Yeah. But it seems like this year, Code Names is probably the way to go.
Yeah,
if you've got new
games
hanging around.
I like Code Names.
That's your family Christmas game. You go buy it now.
You should buy it.
You probably can't. It's probably sold out everywhere.
It's sold out. I checked the other day.
Yeah. So you can't do anything fun this Christmas. Sorry.
Nope, Christmas is ruined.
That's our pro tip. What's tip number three?
Question. Question number three. Should you wrap the puppy you got all the way up in paper and put it under the tree?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Paper's breathable. That's fine.
And also, dogs don't breathe. They don't need air to survive.
Well, no, they don't breathe normally. They breathe through their tongues, right? So as long as you leave a tongue hole.
No, you would think that, but actually what they're doing is drawing water out of the air and drinking.
Oh, they drink?
Yeah, but they don't breathe. Okay, air is completely... Okay. Superfluous to them.
That's why the Russians sent a dog into space.
You see? Those communists, they're smart.
Smooth move, Soviets.
Yep.
That was a pretty easy one, yeah. Question four.
Question four. What is the best type of Christmas nap?
Food coma
probably is up there. For me, though, it's everybody else is watching football and I'm unconscious in a different room.
Oh, that's my favorite thing about Christmas. We have the everyone else is watching football and I'm asleep in a different room thing on Thanksgiving at my house. But I don't think football happens at Christmas at my house, which is the best.
Football is terrible.
Yeah. So I don't have the nap of necessity of avoiding football. I just have the food coma nap, which is a good nap. Yep. And when you wake up, then you eat some Christmas cookies.
Yeah, that's what you do. Yeah. Also up there is the your sibling just hit you upside the head with a ski boot nap.
Or just a ski. Like anything, really, anything solid.
Yeah, they can get a good swing with.
Yeah, and it could have been intentional or unintentional, but it's going to happen.
It was totally
I know, with your family, it was clearly, with your siblings, it was clearly intentional.
Clearly, they did it on purpose. My oldest sister's favorite holiday game for a number of years was gathering all of her tiny strength and then driving her shoulder as hard as she could into my solar plexus. My sister is about 4'11" and I'm 5'9" or so. So it's there's a size difference going on there, but she has powerful legs because she has to do a lot of standing on her tiptoes to reach high shelves. So that builds up.
You realize you're leaving calf muscles for her home. She doesn't listen to this, does she?
No, of course not. And so she's got powerful legs that really give her a good spring, and her shoulder is pointy. And so she could really drive it in there deep into the musculature around the solar plexus. And it hurt pretty bad. So maybe other people don't have that experience on Christmas.
This is the first time I've ever wished I was shorter than you.
You don't really wish that.
I do kind of want to drive my shoulder painfully into your solar plexus.
I mean, you would just have to drop your stance and then drive.
I got bad knees.
Oh. You could probably do it once.
Yeah.
Plus, since you've got... See, she could drive, but then she would fall back.
She can only go so far.
She's going to hit the apex of her arc pretty soon. Whereas you have all of that room to stand up and then push off into the air.
Yeah.
And then come back. So you could really... get a lot of momentum and force behind that push.
I take it back. I'm going to drive my shoulder into your solar plexus later.
Happy to help.
Thanks.
Question 5? Is that where we're on?
Yeah.
Question 5. Oh no, the tree caught fire. What now? Marshmallows?
I guess.
That seems to be the only option.
It'll keep you warm.
Yeah, you can just
though the way the weather's going this holiday season, you're going to be wearing shorts and a tank top anyway.
And have the air conditioning on?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that darned old El Nino.
Stupid Nino.
Do you know that El Nino is Spanish for the Nino?
I have heard a rumor that that was the case.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what a Nino is, though.
Well, there's only one.
El, yeah, it's
the Nino.
It's the Nino, the only Nino, one and only.
There's no a Nino.
Well, if there's only one Nino, why don't we find it and kill it, and then it'll stop messing up the weather patterns?
I think it's bigger than us, and we're afraid of it.
We have men. We have guns.
Well, write a letter to the White House.
We're Americans, not Americants. Americans can't. Yeah, that's what we're not. We're the other thing.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, write a letter to your
congressman,
to your congressman,
the senators,
and they will
bring it to the table. They'll debate it a little bit.
And then talk some.
And then they'll go.
Maybe do something.
They'll take on.
No, they'll vote.
And have a debate.
Yeah. So what's the next question?
Question 6. Would the Treaty of Versailles have had a chance of being signed if Woodrow Wilson had been less stubborn and high-minded? And, additionally, how did his stroke play into the situation?
I don't know.
Neither do I. It's an open historical question.
Was the Treaty of Versailles not signed?
No, we didn't join in on it. Oh. We didn't ratify that treaty.
I gotcha.
We pursued a separate peace with Germany.
Germania.
And Austria-Hungary.
Good question. What's the next one?
Question 7. How do you punch your brother right in the neck?
Right in the neck?
Yep.
Well, I heard, I guess it's not really punching, but on a recent episode, a taco-related recipe for neck attack, at any rate.
For those who don't listen to every episode we put out, shame on you.
What's wrong with you?
To taco neck somebody, you wait until they bend their head to the side so they can bite a taco without, you know, the lettuce and stuff falling out of it. And that kind of exposes and stretches out one side of their neck. And then you go, taco neck, and you punch them real hard in the side of the neck.
I thought you karate chopped them.
You could karate chop them too. Really, it's just violence inflicted with the hand.
On the neck.
While they eat a taco.
Right. The taco part is important.
Well, yelling taco neck.
Otherwise, it's just a regular neck.
Right. And why bother?
Right. Everyone has one of those.
Yeah. Except those dudes with that are neckless, you know, their head just comes right out of their shoulders. You seen those guys?
Teletubbies?
Yeah. Question 8. Why is your dad disappointed in you?
Oh, I think that's clear.
Yeah, I think everything that's happened so far and everything that's about to happen really makes that clear.
If you have non-podcast related ideas of why our fathers are disappointed in us, you should let us know on Twitter at Mildly Alarming.
Send us an email at mildlyalarmingshow@gmail.com.
or post it in the comments section on the website at www.mildlyalarming.com or on Facebook or other places. We'll do all those at the end. Stay tuned because we have a really special Christmas treat coming up after this word from our sponsors.
Who the hell are you? I'll shank you with a shiv. Oh, right. Thought she was one of them skinhead boys, but got some tattoos of squiggly octopuses and are all as yelling about somebody taking these country. But you ain't. You just want some toilet wine. Well, I'm Chest Hair Charlie, and I make toilet wine, and you's gonna have some for a bag of smokes. It's pretty good, and it'll make your chest hair bush out. Only not as big as mine, because I'll cut you if it do. Chest Hair Charlie's toilet wine. Best wine this side of solitary.
Welcome back to the Mildly Alarming Podcast. I'm Johannes Stauffer.
And I'm Tom Rich.
And we have a very special Christmas something for you here. Poem.
It's a poem.
Is it a poem?
It's a poem.
P-O-M-E, poem.
Yeah. Just.
Called A Mildly Alarming Night Before Christmas.
'Twas the night before Christmas, as everyone knows. Not a creature was stirring. That's how this poem goes.
And I in my nightgown, and Tom in his cap, had just settled in for a long winter's nap.
We were curled up all snug on some piles of garbage, which was slightly better than under a car bridge.
We'd bet rather badly on podcast successes. The studio had become home. Fine, I guesses. But as Tom murmured old Snoop Dogg tunes in his sleep, a feeling of worry upon me did creep.
Sipping on gin and juice.
In a time of much joy and so presence and such, it seemed our little podcast wasn't getting much. So as I prepared for my holiday funk, by getting stupendously monstrously drunk, there came from the roof such a terrible clatter that I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter.
His springing awoke me from the loveliest dream of a world where each item was pure sour cream. Old fence posts, new toasters, fat birds in a flocko, all perfect to be glopped on top of a taco. To pine after a vanished dream is a sin, so I got up and joined Dummy here at the window.
Together we perused the night snow and night gloom, straining our eyeballs against dark like a fright tomb.
Sepulchre.
I hate you. Then we saw it. We saw it. We saw it at once. From its baffling backs to its baffling fronts. The curious sight that into our minds hurtles, a miniature Gary and 8 tiny turtles.
Friend Gary, called I, or at least a small clone of that Pendragus fellow, how haven't we known of? You're traveling the world with your turtles and sleigh? Friend Gary, what is it that brings you our way?
Then he flipped us the bird and dumped poo on our lawn. Flicked his reins, cracked his whip, and like that, he was gone. But we heard him cry out as he rose to the sky, "Screw your podcast, you jerks, and I hope you both die."
"Well, buddy," said I, "seems our holiday story will be somewhat lacking in holiday glory."
"True enough, little one, but I take it with salt. After all, our failures are largely your fault."
"But should we not explain, before this poem ends, the meaning of Christmas to readers and friends?"
"Listeners, you moron, you slop in a bucket, you clownfish, you mongrel, you know what? Just fuck it.
I've got some holiday wisdom to lend ship."
"Oh, no."
"The true meaning of Christmas can be found in friendship."
Well, that was just special. You know, really grand.
This didn't go nearly as well as we planned.
Next year, perhaps, this hot mess we can suture.
Is Christmas about having hope for the future?
Oh, dear sweet lord, can it get any worse?
Is the meaning of Christmas to put things in verse?
We've still got a bunch of time left on the timer.
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we do a rhymer?
Sure, but who would we use for the rhymes? Santa Claus?
If he stops at mid-movie, did he Santa pause?
In his cop days, he worked to enforce Santa laws.
In his nurse days, he applied so much Santa gauze.
He'll bite off your head with his strong Santa jaws.
And swallow it whole with his 9 Santa maws.
I always thought of them as Santa Claus.
Well, being dumb is one of your Santa flaws.
He holds up his man boobs with his Santa bras.
And upon hunks of roast beef, Santa gnaws.
Cuts up his lumber with his Santa saws.
And whips up a sampler of his Santa slaws.
Let's call this one good, ere it becomes a crime line. Shall we fade out into a new alternate timeline?
That all sounds good to me. Maybe this time we'll go to an alternate world where the winter has snow.
And they said to the people and faded from sight,
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Deep down in Willie on the fridge. wretched sea floor, the Dark Lord Cthulhu is stirring once more. Cry out as he lifts up his tentacly noggin, Cthulhu.